This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Monday, August 1st. Well, we wrapped up last month, at least on a positive note, but we struggled to hold on to the gains on Friday. After a strong start and a very impressive rally, especially in soybeans throughout the week, and even corn and wheat following along with that, but we just couldn't hang on to the gains in wheat and corn. But for the week, we were still quite a bit higher. Kansas City wheat was up 54 cents. Minneapolis trailing behind up 35 cents. And Chicago was up 49 cents. Corn up 52 cents. Soybeans up a whopping 202. So a very impressive run again, led by soybeans. And that's on weather in the Midwest. As all through last week, in fact, they were the forecast was for hot in right in the Midwest and dry right over the heart of the Midwest. And that was pretty much the case coming into Friday. Then, of course, on Friday, you're bound to see some profit taking at the end of the week, at the end of the month, take some money off the table. But also the forecast started to hint that maybe the heat wouldn't be quite as bad. And throughout the weekend, they were removing heat from the forecast. So we come in this morning, the night session actually started out slightly higher, but it started to buckle and quickly ran into some selling. So as we're in the night session, wheat is down 15 to 20, beans are down 30, corn is down 15. So deflating here pretty fast, which is what it was bound to do if the forecast changed. And the forecast is always changing. It just seems like we continually see these longer range forecasts, like 2 weeks out, being intense heat and dryness. And then by the time you're actually getting into that time window, they've removed a lot of that. That's been a pretty consistent case throughout the summer. So it's really hard to put a lot of confidence into these forecasts. Yes, it's been warmer and drier, but they've been, you know, those key parts of the Midwest have been getting just enough rain to keep that crop moving along. The Central and Southern Plains, they're in a train wreck, but it's simply just not enough to really push the market higher. One would think that that yield drag would be a factor, but I think the market is so focused on, you know, what's happening in the Midwest, and especially the perimeter. The Northern Plains looking great, even though they're running into some heat and dryness, but they started out looking great. The Eastern Midwest looks fine. So you have those areas potentially having above average yields that would certainly offset some of the losses of the plains. And also you've got the war in Ukraine, a grain corridor being agreed upon. A lot of skepticism if it would work, but we are seeing vessels leave Ukraine ports. These are vessels that have been loaded since February. So certainly it makes one wonder what the quality of the grain is on those ships, but they are moving. The first ship has left the port. It's corn. It's on its way to Africa. So, you know, we'll see what happens with the quality and if it actually makes it there. But Egypt is concerned enough about quality that they are sending inspectors to look at that grain before it actually leaves the ports. So at least that is happening. I think Russia is still complaining that they're not able to ramp up their exports. Insurers are not willing to insure the vessels or the cargoes. The financial part of it is still uncertain. So buyers are very reluctant to look at Russian products. And, the prospect that they could move grain, in particular wheat, is huge. They have a record crop. They're looking at record exports. So just them hovering over the market, expecting that they'll move at least a fair amount of it, would suggest that this wheat market's going to struggle here in the short term. If that gets disrupted, if they start bombing Ukraine ships or ships that are carrying Ukraine cargoes, you know, all of this goes away. All of this bearishness goes away. And so it's highly uncertain, and I think the market's volatility reflects a great deal of that. Over the weekend, Russia bombed one of Ukraine's southern ports and targeted the home of the CEO of the largest independent grain company, killed his wife too. So the war is still intense, and bombing still continues on Ukraine ports, targeting important individuals. So it makes you wonder just how long Ukraine will be able to keep this up. They should be able to move the ships that are already loaded, but getting grain to the port, getting it off the farmers' fields, getting it into storage facilities, getting it into a transportation route is going to prove extremely difficult. So, we'll just see how this all progresses. As far as Russia goes, there's not any disruptions from them getting them to ports. It's just getting it to a destination. So those are some pretty critical issues there. Taking a look at the political side of this, of course, Pelosi's on her way to Asia, visiting some countries. Don't really know if she's going to stop by Taiwan or not. Everybody's holding their breath if she does. China's threatening all kinds of retaliation, but I think the easiest one for them would be to, create embargoes against U.S. grain or U.S. products. The big one would be a military action. They're threatening all kinds of stuff, so we'll see. We'll see who backs down, but kind of an unnecessary addition to the volatility and the uncertainty, it seems to me. European Union is lowering their corn production. Of course, they've been in an intense drought all season long. Their wheat crop has been hit pretty hard. Corn crop is up next. So they lowered corn production estimate by 6 million tons. Puts them at 65.8 million tons, which is down, it's down 6 million from last month's estimate. And it's down 7 million tons from last year. World wheat prices taking a bump across most levels. U.S. soft red out of the Gulf at 337 FOB. That is up 20 on the week. Hard red out of the Gulf, 383, is up 21. No bids out of Ukraine again, and that's been the story for several months. But this is the first time we've seen no bids out of Russia, which is surprising, considering that they really want to move some grain. But again, no bids out of Russia. France at $359 a ton is up $19 a ton. Argentina at $405 a ton is up 5. For corn at the Gulf, U.S. 305, that's up 15. Off the Pacific Northwest, they were up $25 a ton at 330. In Argentina, they were up 20 at 260. Brazil is up 25 at 285. In soybeans out of the Gulf, we're at $615 a ton. That was up $35 a ton on the week. In Argentina, they were up $75 a ton for soybeans at $640. Brazil is also at $640. They were up $60 a ton. So soybeans really catching a bid here across the world. We'll see how long it stays under pressure. I mean, we're down quite a bit on the night session, down about 30, but you've got cash markets really on fire around the world trying to keep up with the huge move up that we saw in futures last week. Moving forward, it looks like we're getting a correction here. Weather will still be the dominant factor over the next couple weeks as we get soybeans pollinated and corn starting their ear fill. Pretty important time here. It's not as critical for corn because they've made it through pollination in pretty decent shape, but soybeans are going to be hitting this hot and dry right during their pollination, and corn will be ear filling. So it still could impact corn, but not quite as aggressively as it could soybeans. That's going to be the driver. Of course, politics is a driver. War is a driver. So there's a lot of uncertainty here, and I would expect you'll just continue to see a great deal of volatility, at least in the next few weeks. If you have any questions, feel free to call 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.